Yes.
Okay. I was about to ask you, I get in a lot of like debates with Muslim brothers upon that they should believe that the worst Muslim is better than the best non-believer. I mean, non-Muslim.
Yes, Muslim.
The worst Muslim is better than the best non-Muslim.
You tell them you heard this from me. That's bullshit. And tell them exactly what I said.
What exactly are the things?
What
are?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Her question is exactly what are the jinn? In the Quran, we have translation in English, the jinn race, R-A-C-E. So two groups are given in the Quran, one the human group or the human race, and the other the jinn group, or as it has been put in English by a translator, the jinn race. Now, how much do we know about jinn? Maybe not too much. But one thing we know is that jinn takes the form of human beings. And I never heard mention in the Quran. I read the Quran many times from beginning to end. And I've never read the jinn being seen or observed or known to be in any but a human body, a person's body. And according to my understanding of the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, as reported in the hadith, the collection of his teachings and works, I can't recall anything in hadith that says jinn is anything other than a human being, or comes in any form other than human form. Jinn is not a human being, but comes in what appears to be a human form. Comes in these bodies we have, no other bodies. A jinn won't come in a cow. A jinn won't come in your dog. Your dog stops howling and growling at you, got strange behavior. Call the police or a doctor. A dog doctor, animal doctor. Not me now. Okay. In the Quran, we read, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Seek Allah's protection from the sneaking whisperer who whispers into the hearts of people. And it goes on and on. I'm not giving all the translation. Where is he? He's from among jinn, and he's from among people. From among jinn and people. So here are the two groups mentioned that we should seek protection from this deceiving one that takes the form who is seen as people, but who is also seen as jinn. As jinn. Now, people, who do we think of as people? The word nas in the Quran, and nas, it means sociable, civilized people, society. It means them. You will never see the word nas used negatively or find it used negatively in the Quran. It will always maybe speak it addressing the shortcomings of people, but never will it put people down in that form or in that name. So, and Nas is civilized society. That's what Nas means. And the jinn can sneak in, can come in the form of one belonging to civilized society. But jinns are usually found among savages and people that don't like orderly society. Then the jinns will have the bodies, the human bodies, of those that like violence, destruction, disorder, like the tear down government, tear down order. So the jinn will usually be found among the destructive, rebellious ones who rebel against the order of society. But they can also get into people who are among the good ones, the social ones, the good ones. The jinn can even be in the company of the followers of the prophet. Solomon in the Quran, Sulaiman in Arabic, Quranic Arabic, Sulaiman. Solomon is said that he had in his army, not in his army only, but he had among his chiefs of the army, like Colin Powell, chief of staff he was, you know. He had among his chiefs of the military, jinn. Said that one of the jinn volunteered that Solomon wanted to get Sheba's throne, Queen Sheba's throne. And one of the jinns volunteered to tell him how he could get it right away. And Solomon didn't accept his advice because it was unethical. It was not becoming a man of high and noble character like Solomon. So he refused to accept this jinn's advice. He didn't say the jinn was wrong. The jinn said, I can have a throne here for you within the time it takes you to match your eye. But Solomon didn't accept it because it was not by honest and decent means. So here was a jinn. Now that jinn was in his staff. He must have been appearing as a staff member in human body, right? He was one in the, I'm not saying the Quran, you know, that he was one in the staff of King Solomon. So if he was there, he must have been in human form, appearing to be human like everybody else. So you want to understand exactly what a jinn is. A jinn is one that believes he should do what he wants. He should be the judge of what he does. And nobody should take that authority from him. There are a lot of jinns.
Well, I was going to ask you another question.
Yes.
I just wanted to know Will just Muslims be in hereafter or what?
Muslims what?
Will just the Muslims be in the hereafter or what?
Oh. She asked about the hereafter, the promise, future, when all this creation is done. Will Muslims be the only ones in the hereafter? Will the Muslims be the only ones in heaven? Muhammad the prophet said he saw God blessed him to see heaven. He wasn't the first prophet that was blessed to see heaven either, peace be upon them. But he was blessed to see heaven. God showed heaven and hell to more than one prophet. And he showed it to Muhammad too, peace be upon them. And Muhammad said that he saw the followers of Moses and the followers of Jesus Christ in heaven with Muslims. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. I would like to.
So far, you all make this real easy for me. I've had it much more difficult.
I would like to ask a question. I was reading.
I better correct the thinking here, maybe. I don't mean more intelligent questions. I don't mean hard questions for me to answer with my intelligence. I mean, I have had more disturbing comments come from youngsters and more disturbing questions addressed to me that I've gotten today. Thank you for being a little bit more civilized. Well, you're much more civilized than some proud that I've been. In fact, I haven't seen any disrespect, nothing but intelligence here, and good behavior. That's wonderful. Don't be afraid to be ugly and nasty. I'm ready for it.
I was reading, and a lot of the council Allah tells us that Muslims that we're supposed to lower our gaze, Muslim men and women.
Yes, men and women.
Yeah, and I was wondering, just asking a question, do you think that it is haram for Muslim men and women to have fashion shows together, or, like, what are your views on this?
Good question. Excellent question. Don't go now. Stay here. Excellent question. In the Quran, God says, believing men, when you're approaching women, lower your gaze. And believing women, when you're approaching men, lower your gaze. She has just said this to me. She said that. Now, she asked now, in light of that, she asked, is it proper or approved that men and women have fashion shows together? I think every fashion show I have seen had haram in it. That was haram. But understand that I follow Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. And Muhammad the Prophet was also a strategist. Muhammad the Prophet was also a man that believed in a certain amount of gradualism. When revelation first came against alcohol, it didn't tell the people it was forbidden for them to drink. They were first told of the harm and the bad in it. Then later the revelation, finally the revelation came, the packet came in 3 degrees, I believe, of insistence. The last said it was a bandit. It was forbidden. And no believer was to take alcohol or to take intoxicants. Actually, it's not risky, it's intoxicants. It covers reefers and anything else that will make your mind confused or drugged. So I know that the fashion shows are not without some halal, but I don't stop them. But I try to use my influence. Even the music is not halal. A lot of the music, most of these got some halal in it. But I try to influence our culture, all of it, entertainment culture. I try to influence it so that the community becomes more and more conscious of the problem for Islamic life and begin to work against this haram. And I appreciate what you said. I hope that the day will come, sister, when we'll have fashion shows for sisters and fashion shows for brothers separately.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I agree that many people were suspicious when you said how jinns come in the form of men. How is that possible? Does it, like, take over their body or whatever?
Oh, it's getting to be very, very exciting. I love it. I love fiction. Yes. Body snatchers didn't come from Hollywood. Body snatchers were always around. Yes. Somebody stole the body of a close friend of mine. Something happened to that dude, and it wasn't him in that body anymore. Somebody else was in that body. Yes, they can possess bodies.
Oh,
As-salamu alaykum as-salam.
What do you think that your father would have said after all things that he has accomplished in the community?
Yeah, well, I'll repeat it for you. I thought everybody heard it. She asked me, what do I think my father would say if he was here and had witnessed all the things that have been accomplished for this community? Well, I'm going to let you hear it. I'm going to let you hear him. I thank Allah for you, son.
Okay, Christians and Muslims and Jews are so close in religion, why are we all so different?
I didn't get it again.
Okay, Christians, Muslims, and Jews are so close in religion, how are we all so different?
How are we different?
Yeah. Excellent. Again, an excellent question that will be addressed in my presentation or in my address tomorrow. It will be addressed. That will be addressed. There are very serious differences, but if those differences were of the degree of seriousness that would prevent us from living together and working together for the welfare, health, welfare, and good future of society, Muhammad the Prophet would not have permitted Jews to continue their religion in Arabia in his lifetime. And he wouldn't have permitted Christians to continue their religion in Islamic lands in his time. He himself, and this is established very clear, no scholar in Islam that is really a scholar, I mean, he really studied, would disagree with what I'm telling you. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he made it law that Muslims not only live with Christians and with their preach their churches and their and with Jews in their synagogues, but he obligated Muslims, since we were in the majority and the nation was in Muslim control, he obligated Muslims to protect the sanctity and holiness, the sacredness of the religious places, churches, synagogues, and et cetera. There was also another religion still existing in the world. I thought it had gone until I learned in recent years that it is not gone, it still exists, called in Quran Sabians. They are people that Allah guided Muhammad to recognize as a people who believe in God. And he also permitted them to remain and practice also their religion. So, there are serious differences. And he asked a very important question. There are serious differences. What's your name?
Shaji.
Tell it for me.
S-H-A-J-E-E.
Shaji. Yeah, Shaji asked a very important question. And I said we'll be addressing not only the sameness or the similarities, but also the differences for the two great religions, Islam, Christianity and Islam, tomorrow, inshallah. So I hope you understand, Charlie, that there are real serious differences. But the things we have alike are so much more important that we guided in Islam to respect them as a people who believe in God just like we do, and respect that they can be responsible for their life and their society just like we can. And we have to live with them as citizens and neighbors and not as people apart from one another, as enemies. They're not ever to be enemies of good Christians or good Jews. Are good people, period.
I was wondering, what did you think about America's plans
to invade Iraq.
Let me first correct you. America is not planning to invade Iraq. Bush does not have the support of America yet to invade Iraq. Unless something happened in the news that I'm not aware of, since I checked. Bush is not getting the support of government to invade Iraq. I'm sure Sharon and Bush are agreed, but not America, not yet.
I just wanted to add that, like, if a young Muslim male brother and sister or whatever are, like, interested in each other, but not, like, are ready to get married, how should they go about that? And it's, like, one of them are Muslim and the other of a different religion. How should they go about that if they don't want to, like, get married or anything because that's the decision of God?
Very important question. For not only you, but for old person like me too. Yeah. First, and for people desiring a mate, females and males desiring to mate one mate sexually for pleasure, for children, for the future, whatever. We should understand that in Islam, there's no sex without marriage. That's first what you said. Now, you didn't ask for all that. I'm sure you're not way back there. You're way ahead of that. I know that. But for the benefit of the audience, and what I say is going to be put it on tape, and it's going to reach other people. It's going to go beyond this audience right here. So first I want to say that sex in Islam, there's no sex in Islam without marriage. Now, this is so strict that if it is known by the Muslim society that male and female have sex and they were not married, they have to accept each other as man and wife or husband and wife right away. They have to say, well, we didn't do this with the intention not to marry or not. I do love her. I do love him. I do want him for my husband. I do want her for my wife. If they say that, then a wise judge will say, you did the act while you were married. You were married. Though you did not have a formal marriage witness, you were in spirit married when you did the act. They say, now, do you accept that we publish that you are married? If one of you say no, you're going to be flogged in the public, 80 lashes or 100 lashes or more. You're going to be whipped in the public. I mean, pain is going to be put on you. Not stone, that's not Islam. You hear any stoning, that's un-Islamic. The person who ought to stoning should be stoned. That's savage. That's savage here. It's not Islamic. But the guilty one should be flogged in the public. It'll be adultery, it'll be fornication or adultery if you do not accept that it was an act by you desiring one another forever, not just for that moment. That's the first thing to realize. It's very important. Now, before you marry, you are not to even risk the temptation of getting sexually involved. You're not supposed to touch each other sexually. You're not supposed to touch each other with sex on your mind or from a sexual interest. You're not even touch each other. You're not kissing, no kissing, no touching, no expression from sexual interest at all. If you do, you're misbehaving as a Muslim. If you do that, you're misbehaving as a Muslim. Now, if you would have all the brothers and sisters that matter, including me, go before judgment, all of us would be guilty. All of us would be guilty. But you know, I didn't know. I wasn't as informed back then in my young years, younger days, as I am now. I won't do it now. I won't do that. But back then, yes. And I guess you say, well, at your age, you won't have much problems sexually anyway. Sex problems won't come into the picture anyway. And that might be true. But we can still dream. So for me, that is a risk and a danger, just like it is for you young ones who are driven by life, you're driven by the force of your life. And it's hard to resist the urge in young life. It's very difficult, very difficult. So all of our leaders should not jump to judgment, not rush to judgment, and try to judge youngsters, judge their behavior, and be too hard on you all, because the urge in young life is a much greater challenge and test than it is for us in our 40s and older, or for many in their 30s. Much greater. You are in the worst time right now. Puberty, teenage years, the worst time. So you have the greatest challenge and the greatest struggle right now. And you are our hero right now. If you are obeying these laws, you are our giants. Okay? And we thank Allah for you. Thank Allah for your parents that encourage you to be chaste and not to invite temptation. The key is don't invite temptation. Don't let yourself be tricked into a risky situation where you're risking your purity. One slip can wreck your life for the rest of your life. One slip can wreck the life of your family if you have a conscious, honorable family. It can wreck your family for the rest of your life. One slip. And be aware, be very aware, that people come among us, young men and old men, not only among us, they go to church. They're perverted men, young and old, and unconscious. They just don't have any respect for anything. And they, as I think it was Freddie Krueger, he said, how sweet fresh meat. So they would come to a religious congregation, how sweet fresh meat. Just to use you. And once they use you, they go. Unless you invite them to come back and they were pleased, they won't come out, they won't be back. But they have used you and they go. So be aware of that. Be aware too, if you're the son of an imam or a daughter of an imam, be aware that these same people, they like to hurt people that shame them. See, our obedience, it annoys them. They wish we weren't even existing. So their minds will be free to just do the things and not be pricked by our presence, not be disturbed by our presence. They hate, they call those little brute goodies. They hate us just because we want to be good, those little goody goodies. And they'll come among you, young and old, boys and men,
girls and women brothers, young brothers, they have come among us just to make us guilty of their way of life, of their disrespect for decency. They want to make us guilty, so they'll be more comfortable doing the things they're doing. And there is nothing else for you to get to survive on. Now, that could possibly happen. How come God revealed that? Because it's possible that a fanatic person that's not a Muslim from the other religions could capture a Muslim and tell the Muslim, okay, if you don't eat this pork, then you're going to die. You're not going to get anything else. In fact, we've had some situations almost that bad in times past, in prison, where they didn't want to give up the pork-free meal. Okay, but they gave us other things. You can eat beef, but not a full diet. You didn't have a healthy diet, that's for sure. I ate in prison many times, and I didn't have a healthy diet. The doctor would have said, this man can't live like this. He should be given some meat. He should be given some protein. Some eggs or something. And I had to eat beef and go to bed. Beef. You know, beef, the vegetable. That's all they had that I could eat. And that's what I ate that milk, just beef. That's all I had. Sometimes just milk for breakfast. Because the eggs cooked in long, pork grease. So, it was worse for the generation before me, for my father and my brother, who went to prison during World War II, it was much worse for them. They were given boiled eggs. The prison finally accepted that they could boil eggs for the Muslims. So they boiled eggs for the Muslims, which was good way back there. It was World War II. Some progress was made for Muslims inside the prisons. Yeah. What I'm getting at, this. We cannot, while we have to condemn the act, the insane act of those people, we cannot condemn them without also looking at the cause behind the act. What pressured them, what drove them to that degree of madness, insanity, or selflessness, where they became so selfless that they didn't see themselves as any importance at all. They could destroy their bodies, they could destroy their lives. And they thought it was justifying to take the lives of any American. I'm going to tell you, they were indoctrinated. They were indoctrinated, they were told that all Americans are free to vote. And as long as they vote for people that are leading the country against us to do these things, all of them have a part in the guilt. So, knowing those things, I cannot tell you of their horrible image in human image, but I'm also telling you that we have to look at causes, what grows them to that extent. To do those things. You're welcome.